Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
My camera's just been fucking annoying here, so.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Series 4, Episode 5 of... That's one of my kids telling me to be quiet.
Long time.
Yeah, of... Oh, no better. How are we doing, gents? You all right, Jay?
Yeah, not too bad. Feel a bit better than I did Saturday now. I've calmed down a little.
Good, good. That's nice to hear. And what about you, Carl? You doing all right?
Yeah, doing okay. I just avoided Leeds Twitter for the last couple of days, so I've been absolutely fine.
Yeah, fair point. Well, we'll run a bit of an intro and loads to talk about. See you in a mo.
Hi, this is Don Matteo, and you are listening to the Ought to Know Better podcast. Let's do this.
You look like fucking Brolin, you're a Leeds hating bastard.
Oh, you look like some sort of fucking weird floating head. No.
You utensil player a bit, innit?
I mean, I feel a bit right, dickhead.
Nothing spectacular, really.
I can see both you two trying to get stuff done there before the intro finishes. You shouting at your kids?
No, my dog. It's the old one who's proper annoying. And like, if he's not allowed in the bedroom, he cries outside. He gets in the bedroom, he cries inside. Until
it's like a madhouse.
It's until I put him under the quilt and tuck him in, and then he just stops. Yeah,
that's one spoiled dog.
Oh, honestly, man, he's old, like, to be fair. He's like 15 or something stupid, so he's a bit needy. But anyway, gents, we come in and we go live just as the news comes through that Southampton are now 3-0. I think I'll start with that, actually. I mean, do we need to be looking over our shoulders more than just looking for... Carl, your camera is doing my pissing head in.
Okay, give me a sec.
Jay, I'll start with you. Do you think we need to be worried about Southampton? Obviously, they've got Leicester and us to play before the end of the season. But if they win both their games in hand, they're on equal points to us. I think there's still quite a substantial margin behind us in terms of goal difference. Well, depending on how many they win by tonight, I mean, they're already 3-0 up after 36 minutes. So,
yeah.
Do we need to be concerned, or do we just have to sort of look ahead and look up?
We have to be aware of the threat from them, but it doesn't change anything in that we still need to do our jobs. It doesn't alter our approach to anything because we're still trying to get into the top two. That's still the aim. That's going to continue to be the aim regardless of what Southampton do. So we have to be aware that there's that little bit more pressure on now, but we just got to stay focused and get back to winning ways regardless of what anyone's doing. Otherwise, we've got no chance.
They've got a lot of games as well in a short spell. You know, they've got a short turnaround between every game. But some might say that might be a bonus. You know, that might keep that run going. If they hit a rich vein of form now, then that could be a blessing for them going into the last day. Imagine the last day, either whoever wins that game gets automatically promoted.
That's been my fear for the entire season.
But it hasn't, because we were out of the picture, remember?
From the start, that were always my fear, and we started badly, and I was thinking, oh God. And then everything came together, and it were all sunshine and rainbows for a while, and we just looked unstoppable, and we were going up, and now it's gone back to, oh shit, that game's going to matter. There's no way we get to the last day and we don't need something the way it's going.
It's not
going
to be a dead rubber, so I think we can wave goodbye to the Conor Roberts Tashers, can't we, for now?
I think so, yeah, Smarty's got his way.
I was looking forward to sporting one of them for a few hours.
We could do it anyway. It's up to us.
I'll still do it just for the fun of it. Carl, are you now in a dungeon?
No, I unplugged the camera that I'm using, and now I have to use that bleeding camera that's on this this fucking laptop. So yeah.
Sometimes I think we've come a long way, us, and then there's times like this. I think we haven't, have we? We're still fucking useless.
Yeah, Carl's holding us all back here with his lack of technology.
Right, we'll start where we normally start, because I have to admit I don't think anybody got any points in the predictions this week. And I'd be very surprised if anybody did, and if you did, you're a traitor.
Pretty much.
And but what I will say is I've obviously had a bit of a chat. I wasn't on BNC actually. Was it you two on BNC?
No, it was Smarty and Gilly.
Smarty and Gilly. So actually none of us have had a chat about it on our channel. I've been on with Joe. So let's start with the result before we get into. Let's have a bit of a shit sandwich on the opposite way. Let's do the shit on the outside, either side, and we'll do a nice little positive bit in the middle tonight.
Wow.
How did it? I mean, you two obviously there. It felt as if it came across as if the atmosphere was a little bit better in lots of Stuart Dallas chants and. Mm-hmm. It just felt like there was an air of confidence after we'd all seen that Stuart Dallas speech, and I thought, you know what, this is a game we go and spank these, and we've got a decent running. You know, we set a platform, set some foundations for the rest of the season. We shit Ipswich up, we shit Leicester up, we shit Southampton up, and we can then. Go and build it and got just coast into promotion. The last game's going to be a dead rubber then.
I'm still of the I know Gilly put it in the group earlier on that he thinks it's third coast, doesn't he? So I'm still convinced we're going up automatically
by 4 points.
We'd be 4 points clear on the final day. Yeah, I never said whether it be first or second. I just said 4 points clear on the final day.
4 points clear. Of who?
You're sticking to it.
It'd be a bit of a push now, like. I think it's fair to say that we've had our bit of a run-in blip now. I think it's a long time before the next game. No, we don't play till next Monday night, and I think if he can get that, I saw someone say maybe give them 2 or 3 days rest, which for the Welsh lads might not be the worst thing in the world. Like considering they played 120 minutes. And then a full 90 as well. So, and then the game straight back into it. So I think there's enough time between now and then for them to sit down, assess what the hell's going on, see where we're going wrong and try and assert ourselves in the next game against Borough.
Great point. Where are we going wrong, Jay?
Fucking hell. I don't know where to start. I mean, let's be clear. There's a difference
actually,
between
before you right, go on, go on. Can you just stand up for me and show everyone your t-shirt?
Go on, then. I won't stand for you because it'll just be a camera full.
I said stand up, Jay.
Oh, you're an arsehole, man.
He's kneeling on the seat.
I caught that then because I nearly called you somewhere else.
I can't believe you managed to dig that out from the bottom of the laundry basket.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
Washing pile or whatever it was.
I wanted to wear it last week.
There's quite a few people wearing them in the South Stand there on Saturday.
Yeah, my cousin's grandma and her son. So my cousin's uncle and her grandma both managed to find theirs. They go home and away like all the time. But yeah, sorry, Jay, to interrupt you. But I just wanted to show you your lovely shirt off. But where is it ultimately going wrong for you at the moment?
So I was going to say I'll be clear that there's a difference between where it's probably going wrong tactically and what I don't like about what we're doing. But I'm finding it difficult at the moment. The amount of passing backwards, the amount of going back to the keeper. I get that Farker likes a patient build-up and he wants to invite teams that are sitting back to try and come out a bit and come at us. I get that, but it's so frustrating at times. And there's been times when we've got to sort of stoppage time and we're chasing a game and we still go backwards, and it drives me up the fucking wall, man. It really does. And the thing that I noticed mainly as well, Luke, before you say it, we looked like a team that was scared to lose against Blackburn. And I think that held us back.
Do you know what? I would say I think we've played like this all season. I do. I just think that the more creative players have had a little bit more time and space, which has actually ultimately got us through some games. And that's part of the reason why I think actually we're only really getting frustrated now, because that front four aren't having the same impact on other teams. And actually we play backwards quite a lot, and we play across, and it's something we've always done. It's not certainly under Daniel Farker, it's not anything new, but I completely share your frustrations when in the 93rd minute Rodon's putting his hands up like that because he's having no runners, he's having nobody. Yeah. And bearing in mind we've got six strikers on the field at this stage and there's nobody moving around, there's no movement, everyone's static, and it frustrates the life out of me, because he's then had to play it across to Ampadu, or even I think at that stage it might have even gone back to Melier. This is in the 93rd minute or something.
And the whole crowd just groans, and that's not Rodon's fault, but it's just that same pattern that's frustrating the hell out of us, and it's killing the atmosphere too.
Can I make a point, lads? Just what you're saying is absolutely spot on. But Rodon's looking for runners in the midfield, in the middle of the park. He's not looking for runners out wide.
But there's no one left in the middle at that point, because everyone's up front.
Yeah, but the other thing, someone posted a video of Strike's kind of highlights before he got injured this season. And a lot of what we were doing with Strike in the team, because he can pass the ball, he can play out from defence with a diagonal ball out wide. We're not doing that at all now. That's one of the one things that we I know, Luke, you're probably going to say, well, didn't, you know, Ampadu do it for Bamford and Georgie or whatever, but that's two or three times maybe that he's actually played a good ball where it's gone over the, you know, the back of their right back or whatever the case may be. But when you watch that Strike video, there's maybe six or seven from one particular match where he does it, you know what I mean? And you're kind of looking at that, it's a great out ball. And what you're saying about the forwards not being as effective over the last couple of games, maybe that's what we're missing, is someone to grab the ball at the back and play those balls out wide where our forward players can catch them in behind. Because if we're playing it into feet the whole time, which we've noticed we have been over the last however long, Georgie's getting doubled up on. As soon as it goes out as far as Somerville, it's getting doubled up on. Sometimes there's three lads just making a point of being around him, so he can't even get the ball away. They're not even passing or tackling. They're just forcing him into a situation where he loses the ball.
People were not happy with Somerville on Saturday. They were very greedy. And he blew it a few times, blasted it over the bar, and, you know... You don't mind, do you, if you score one of them and you don't care that they're greedy? It's fine, he's that type of player. But when nothing comes off it, it stands out, doesn't it? It highlights it.
I completely agree, but I think using Strike as an example is fantastic. But actually, we haven't had Strike in the team since the turn of the year, pretty much, if at all. So, I mean, he did bring the ball out a lot more than any of the other two do from defence. Rodon does it maybe once or twice a game, and it opens teams up. Ampadu does it once or twice a game. And we see teams literally don't have a fucking clue what to do, because they know that we're set up to play in a particular way, in a particular style that keeps all the possession. And that doesn't involve the centre back bringing the ball out to the centre circle. And I think we need to be doing more than that, more of that. I also think we need to be switching play more often and more early in possession.
I think we've all said that in the last couple of weeks.
It's a pattern I've noticed where we have fixated on getting down the left, getting the ball to Somerville when
we've stopped
the likes of Archie or Roberts and then either Nanto or James in absolute acres of space, and that's where it's prime for maybe a ball from the back like that.
Not using James in that way in a game that he's struggling to break a team down is criminal.
Yeah,
Nanto this week, though, there were. I mean,
it was this week. And I was shocked when he took him off as well. That were another thing I was going to mention.
I would have gone taking Somerville off on Saturday over Nanto. I thought Nanto and Gruev were doing quite well. And as soon as... This is no slight on Archie either. He was playing in the middle on his own and essentially defending in a back three when they broke. But like the two most influential players for me, he took them off. Now we're always banging on about him making subs at the right time. He made them at the right time, but he made the wrong subs for me.
But he's also said he's also said that was a fitness issue, which actually he will know better. Where these players, they've got these things stuck on the back, the catapults, aren't they? They'll know how fit they are. You know their oxygen levels. They're really intelligent bits of kit. Like they will know who's blowing and who's not. So I mean,
turning into a bit of Universal Soldier now, isn't it?
Yeah,
yeah. Great. On their arm.
Oh, speaking of television, has anyone started watching Fallout yet?
Yeah, I watched it all there. It's
absolutely class. Don't tell me what happens.
Hammered it out on Sunday night.
I will watch it.
I've only ever played the game once, and I thought I might not get it, but actually I do. It's really good. I just may want to pick up on a point that you said, Jay, or even Carl. I think you probably we've all said it is about this. This teaming up on Somerville and Rutter, it's very, very easy to play against when you've got the, you know, you've basically got the enough players defending to actually have that option to actually put two players on Rutter and two players on Somerville. But that leaves our right winger absolutely open nine times out of 10, which goes back to what I'm saying about this switching of play and things. But I don't think necessarily Rutter and Somerville have been any poorer. I just think teams have worked out how to defend. Yeah. Somerville has got one trick. He goes down the left, flicks it back, goes back on his right, and he'll have a shoot or cross it in or play it back to whoever's playing central midfield or left back. And that's all he does. Now, something's got to change there. And one of the ideas, I don't know what you guys think of this is, but it's one of the things we did earlier in the season when Somerville and Nanto were playing together, they interchange quite often. I've not seen them do that once. I've not seen it.
Yeah.
Even Dan James.
I've seen them both be in the same corner of the pitch when we're building up an attack.
But that's when Nanto's really come on in just like another role that's not actually a right winger.
Yeah.
But what we did earlier on in the season, at the start of this run, arguably, was actually they used to interchange left and right. And even Rutter sometimes, the three of them used to just be a little bit, not necessarily free roles, but actually one of them would play left, one centre and one right, but they wouldn't always be in them positions. They'd interchange between them. Like Nanto would go to left and say, right, you go to the right and whatever else. And it made us a little bit more unpredictable. Now, I think we're almost playing too regimented, and look, whilst it does work, we don't concede a lot of goals. It hasn't worked recently. So I think we need to be looking at going back down that avenue where we give those three that free reign, that bit of freedom to actually do what they're good at, which is play football and mess with teams' heads.
Yeah, they actually did that for a small period of time on Saturday, just before Nanto was taken off. Nanto moved into the 10 role for about maybe 5 or 6 minutes, no more than that. But Rutter was out wide on the right, and you could see that he was trying. Well, I don't know if it was what he was trying, but he was definitely trying to involve Somerville. For me, he was definitely trying to involve Somerville and Nanto in more build-up play together. And just like Rutter was out wide then instead of Nanto being out wide, you know? And it worked for a little bit because what happened then was Blackburn didn't know who to double up on. So we inadvertently stretched their team by making sure that they were deciding who to double up on while they were moving across. And that's, Luke, you were making a point there. Like, when we're in those positions, what we should be doing is moving the ball back quickly and getting it out wide to the right. But instead, what we're doing is we're just coming back to the centre back when we run down a hole, and it's just slow build up again. And by the time we get it out the right, they've pushed across and they're up on Conor Roberts, and they're always up on Dan James at that point. It's the element of surprise seems to be gone with the way we're playing at the minute. And I'm not saying that we're playing, you know, I'm not bad mouthing the team by any means. I don't want anyone to think that. But at the minute, it's a bit predictable. We need to kind of change it up a bit where, when we get in that position, like Kamara, when he gets on the ball, he needs to start lofting balls out wide right. He, like, these 15, 20-yard passes, they're all good and well. They're neat. They're tidy. We hold the ball. But when they've inadvertently stretched their own defence in midfield to man up on two of our players, that's our time to then spring a trap and try and switch the play up a bit. Like,
I completely agree. Go on, Jay. You were going to say something, mate.
I was just going to say, there's a few calls from people for changes and stuff. And like, we've all been saying that in recent weeks. But I think, to me, now with three games left, the team just has to be the team and they just have to do better. It should just be the team that started the last game and stick with it for me. But I think he probably puts Bamford back in. But I've got this awful feeling now about trying to change too much too late.
Well, people were calling for three changes, and we almost called it on here last week.
Yeah, we did. Yeah,
that the three changes would have been Kamara, Dan James, and Bamford out.
Which
is what happened, and we ended up losing the game. Now, I do think we were unlucky to lose the game. I don't think by any stretch Blackburn were a better side. I think we're just very, very telegraphed. People know how to play against us because we play the same way every week. They know we're going to control possession and we're going to have 70, 75, 80 possessions some games.
They got a shithouse 1-0. That's what it was.
But actually, if we're not going to do anything with that possession, they're quite happy to leave Sammy Smodic on the halfway line and lump it up to him. Gallagher who flicked it on, I think. Yeah.
Keepers took 10 minutes per goal kick or save as well.
We'll come on to their keeper in a bit because I think he there's something in one of the shit tackies of the week.
I reckon I know what it'll be. Yeah,
yeah. There was a comment there I just seen from Steve Brown. I just wanted to pull it up because he made a really good point about where is it?
Do not stare.
Here we go. Pirro. We haven't really mentioned Pirro, but Pirro actually. I know he wasn't great, but he actually looked up for it and look.
Yeah, he did.
We don't expect this from Pirro really when he's playing number nine. He shouldn't have had to be coming short because that's Rutter's job. That is Rutter's role to pick up the ball as a number 10, find some space and spray it or run at the defenders. But Pirro was naturally doing that because Rutter wasn't.
Yeah.
I think Rutter's been the most disappointing player we've had over this poor run, over these last four or five games. I think he's been the worst.
Also, have to take into account he's had that hernia operation.
Put it back put the hernia back in.
But the thing is that I was saying as well, I was like, you're talking 10 days between an operation, regardless of, you know, whether it's keyhole or not. You're still, you're never going to be 100%, like, and maybe keeping him out of the starting lineup for the first two games back might have been a better option and give him the half an hour. You know, maybe rushing, like, he had no problem leaving Gruev out. And he's been one of our better players this second half of the season. Like, so why not, you know, Gruev came back with a knock from international training. Georgie was in having a bleeding operation.
Yeah.
So out of the two.
Who's going to play the role, though, if he drops him?
Nanto, stick Nanto in that 10 role.
But if he'd not been fit after the international break, then that would have left him a dilemma there, wouldn't it?
And Nanto wasn't fit.
Pirro in there.
That might be why he didn't drop him.
Put Pirro in there.
Mm.
Like, Pirro's played that 10 when we went on a good run, you know? So I don't see why that would have been an issue. I think just the half hour... or the half hour in each game in the first two games back might have been more beneficial.
I just think change it up. I think Rutter, Nonto, and Somerville will work as long as they don't have to stick to their wings and their positions, as long as they can interchange what they're doing, because they all do something different in each of those positions. We've not really seen Cree in the 10 very often, if at all. We've not really seen much of Nonto in there either. But those two are either on each. But we know Rutter can play out wide because that's where he played for Hoffenheim and where he got the goal of the season and everything else. That was his preferred position. He's not a striker. We've turned him into the 10 because actually we didn't have anybody. Pirro wasn't doing it in that role for us because the actual change in form came when we swapped Pirro with Rutter in the 10. So. Yeah, I mean, lots of changes. We'll come on to what changes we might actually make when we go on in a bit and talk about the Borough game. But all in all, it wasn't a bad performance, was it? It was just a frustrating performance, and we ultimately ended up coming up undone.
Yeah, it were the same thing with Coventry. Like, we had chances, we just didn't score. The lack of goals is worrying me more than the performances themselves, if I'm honest with you.
Yeah.
Sorry, Carl, go on.
No, carry on, man. Carry on.
Someone in the comments said, do we need a bit of luck as well? Is there such a thing? And like when you're getting denied a clear handball penalty against bloody Sunderland and you're getting refs who are not seeing things right in front of them, we got 1 minute stoppage time in that first half as well, by the way. And it's just, there's weird stuff going on, man. And these refs are either really fucking stupid and incompetent, or they're bent, because some of the stuff that's gone on.
The ref who missed the two penalty shouts versus Sunderland got promoted to a Premier League game.
Yeah.
There you go. Corruption all the way then.
Newcastle but just in response, was reffing.
Yeah, just in response to Michael Gottier, do we need luck too? Yeah, we absolutely do need luck. But for me, you make your own luck. I've gone on about Ipswich falling off at some stage and everyone calling Ipswich lucky for scoring in the 96, 97 minute. But we used to do that a lot under Marcelo Bielsa. We made our own luck because we'd play till the final whistle, not till 90 minutes. So should you have to rely on it? Not necessarily. Some games, yeah, absolutely, where it's tight. But these last four or five games, we've been by far and wide the better side, the best footballing team.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah.
But we just not took those points.
We could have won the last couple of games. We could have won them.
But like when you look at the second half against Coventry, when Archie kind of started sitting in midfield on his own and they started sitting back, you could see that he was starting to dominate in there and starting to play it about in a good way. Like, and it's not that we're whenever we have these conversations, it's not that we're criticizing the lack of effort, because you can see that the team are trying. It's just our finishing is off at the minute, and people have sussed out how to defend against us when it's a bit one-dimensional down the same side all the time. That's literally it. Like you said, absolutely. Luke.
Do you think if we get a goal, we'll score a few all at once?
Yeah. Yeah. I think
once, so I think it'll break the barrier down, floodgates will happen.
And I hope it's Monday against Borough. I do. Skips hit the nail on the head for me. I think we are seeing the experience of Rutter. Look, he's had this operation, but yeah, absolutely. I will stand by what I said in January, and I'll bang the drum until the cows come home, because I said, look, it's great that Rutter's having this purple patch and he looks fantastic in it, but he is not a natural number 10. We needed to sign a Pritchard or somebody at this level who doesn't need to do all that much running because they're just technically gifted, a Pablo type player. And I know that they're few and far between, but somebody of that ilk who could have come in and just done a job, even off the bench or even to teach Rutter, because Rutter's learning from nobody at the minute. Don't forget.
That's right.
Just quickly on that with the number 10, do you think maybe we should have pushed a little harder for, is it Ilias Chair at QPR in the summer? Like,
I don't think we did push for Chair. There was the other lad, wasn't it? Who we missed out on, the French lad or the French leagues. I forget his name. Somebody in the comments will come up with it. I completely forgot his name, but we were close to signing him. I've forgotten his bloody name.
And then that Rutter
did make team of the year, though.
He did make team of the year, which is fair. I know
that upset a few people.
But if Amiri, that's him, Alan. Thank you ever so much.
That's the guy.
Amiri. And he would have been perfect. He would have been perfect.
Just won the league with Leverkusen, him, hasn't he?
He has. Yeah. Amiri. Everyone, thank you. You've all got fantastic memories. Mine's shit.
Mine's are all terrible.
Yeah. I just want to fly through a few of these comments before we start to move on. Then we've done that in. But as I'm aware, there was no points for anybody in terms of the predictions. But yeah, we'll fly through two of these. Finn, welcome, Finn. I don't recognize Finn. Maybe if it's your first time here, if it is, do make sure you hit subscribe. Just genuinely deflated. Important to believe, but I can't see autos. Hope I'm wrong. Where do you two stand on the autos? Because I put a poll out. For those of you who haven't voted in the poll, it's very simple. The leads get promoted automatically, yes or no. Where do you two stand on that right now as it is? I'll start with you, Jay.
I'm clinging to the hope of yes. I think
I'd still think we're going to do it. It'll be.
I can't accept the alternative.
Be the edge of the seat stuff, like, but I still think we're going
to
do it.
I'm going to burn a few people here and say I would prefer to go up through the playoff final, but it's just heartache, isn't it, if you know. Like, yeah. I was there for Doncaster all them years ago. It's just fucking hard because it ruined my day. I was such a great day. Got into the stadium, carried on. You know, it was great.
We were two down in about 20 minutes, weren't we?
No, we lost one. We lost 1-0
against Donny.
You're on about Watford. You might be on about Watford.
God knows, my memory's really fucked.
Anyway,
I did go to the Donny game.
I think Wembley had just been built. I think it was the first year Wembley was used for the playoff finals, if I remember rightly. Next comments. Yeah. Top Banana thought he was Welsh. I think he's on about you, Carl, because you're so many different nationalities. Mark Wright makes a great point. Roden getting player of the month for March says a lot about what's happened with the attacking players.
Yeah.
And now, do we think this... I'll ask a question on this. Do we think that's down to what they've been told to do, or do we think it's down to the players individually?
It's got to be down to tactics, doesn't it?
Well, I would disagree. I don't think they've been told to do much different. It's just not happening.
That's what I mean. Like, it's got down to tactics, just not happening. Like,
well, I would say that's an individual. That's down to the individual because it was working earlier with these tactics.
Did we pass it back as much as this before, or has it just become a problem now because we're not scoring?
The urgency needs to be put into it again. Anyway, we're all in agreement that that needs to happen, and we need to be more on the front foot next Monday.
We're lacking a spark.
Yeah,
but yeah, we absolutely are. Well done to Rodon, by the way, for getting that award.
Good on you.
Nige says he's accepted playoffs now. Anything else is a bonus. So he's a little bit more downbeat than you two. I mean, I think I'm with that sort of Ed. I'm not usually negative about anything, but based on recent results and performances, I don't think we deserve to go up automatically, if I'm honest with you. But then again, Leicester and Ipswich haven't pulled away, even though we've been shit. So we are still in the mix, which is a nice position to be in, but it's also not, because we could have actually been. If you look back to the games we've drawn and lost this, and the points we've thrown away this season, the points that we haven't got at Sunderland as well, when we should have had two penalties, you know, we could have actually already won the league by now, realistically. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? I'm sure fans of the other teams will probably say something similar. If they were on their podcast, they'll have been.
If West Brom hadn't scored their handball goal, and we haven't drawn to Cardiff or Wednesday, we'd be 4 points clear at the top now.
We've had some abysmal refs, and others have also had abysmal refs, but have been benefiting from it.
Yeah, but that's the position we'd be in. But look, we are where we are, and I still think we're going to do it. Like, anyway. Yeah.
I'm with you. Like, I obviously want us to do it. I can't see how and where we change enough to be, I'm sure Middlesbrough will not want to sit back at home against Leeds United and invite pressure on. Their fans probably won't stand for that as much as, as a travelling Blackburn fans who needed a point, you know, they needed, they came for a point, and ultimately they went with all three. I think it'll be a very different game. Again, we'll come on to Middlesbrough in a second or two. Alan Austin says, no goals from midfield is a major problem. What do you make of that? Do you think that's a problem? I don't think our midfielders are. I think he's probably talking about the Kamara Gruev or Kamara Gray or Gruev Gray, whatever the two. Yeah, I mean, are they expected to score many goals these days?
They're not really in that position the way we play, are they?
They don't
go forward that much. Kamara.
I've seen Kamara in positions where he should be playing the trigger.
Kamara has.
He's had a good 4 or 5 opportunities this season where he should have pulled the trigger.
But the last few games, they tend to sort of get to the D on the edge of the box and they don't go beyond that. They stay out in that kind of space and the ball gets passed bloody back and forth, left and right a few times before we blow it or give it back to the keeper or something. But yeah, I think you'd want the odd goal from them, but I don't think you'd be expecting sort of mega goals from them. They're not. We don't shoot from far out, and yeah, people just, you know, we don't have those kind of efforts often. We tend to try and work it into the box, you know, and unless we're going to start shooting from range and I don't think we can expect that many midfield goals.
I don't think this is a major problem, and I'll tell you why, because we've got 4 or 5 players now almost on double figures.
But that's it. We've got other players that can do it. It's just that they're not.
I think now we're actually trying to dissect a little bit too much as to why things aren't going well and what's going wrong and everything else. Do you know what I mean? I think it's a minor problem. I think midfielders should obviously get you a goal or 2 or 3 even over a season, but I don't think that's a major factor as to why we're not flying and winning the league so far.
It's a very different setup to when we had Lee Bowyer playing in there, running forward, scoring goals. Yeah. You know what I mean? We don't play like that. We don't play that kind of system where the midfielders are that important in the attack.
Yeah. Smarty makes a good point. I think the severe lack of goals from set pieces is a bigger problem. He doesn't make these often, so we've got to get him up when he does.
Got him sat down.
problem than the lack of goals from our centre midfield. I read something the other day. We'd had 130-something corners since
121, wasn't it?
It might have been 121. It was too many anyway, since we last scored from one. But then I think that's in the league, because I think didn't Ampadu score from a header against Peterborough from a corner?
I think he did, yeah.
So, yeah, I mean...
It was in the cup. That was in the cup.
That's what he was saying, yeah. I think that record must be in the league.
Must be league only. But I mean, even from free kicks and stuff, I shit myself. When teams get a free kick on the edge of our box, I genuinely shit myself. I don't care who's taking it. I don't know who their set pieces are, takers are, but I absolutely cack myself. Now, when we get one, I'm like, don't matter. Then we're not going to score.
No, that's how I feel. Yeah. Corners, you think, are just a waste of time. And at the end of the game, it goes out for a corner. And it's going, yeah, go on, Leeds. And then we just, like, don't even beat first man, or we boot it right over, or keeper catches it. We just, yeah, we don't make them work for us.
Do we have a set piece coach? I know we used to have one, didn't we, under Monk? I think Monk was the one who brought one in, wasn't he?
He didn't last right long, did he?
No.
But we used to score a lot of headers, and I know we had people like Pontus Janssen in the team, and
Chris Wood as well.
Kyle Bartley and Chris Wood and big lumps who could win. I mean, we are quite slight as a squad, aren't we? We're quite a little team. Yeah. There's no units really, apart from Melier and Pirro.
Rodon, it's like Ruta's tall, but he's not built, is he? He's quite gangly.
Yeah, he's not going to win you an header in the air.
He flails around with arms and legs and runs past people.
Yeah, one chops his way around the pitch.
yeah, like a wacky waving inflatable arm man.
Yeah, I'm not doing that again. Luke, you look baffled there. What are you doing?
Yeah, no, I was just reading one of the comments that one of you had starred, but it's not worth reading out because we've already spoken about it. Coleslaw and Toast just emphasizing the point we've made about actually trying to bring both wings into play and not just sticking it down to one wing and playing through that channel. It's all a bit samey, and it's all a bit predictable and telegraphed. Finn, again, welcome. Could this be a blip similar to the Forest result when after we just rump teams? Now, that's what we're all hoping. That's what we're living in hope of, innit, I suppose. That actually Farker's had, he'll have had 8 or 9 days with this squad, with no games, just to train, relax, get some fucking sports psychologist in there if you've got to, you know, get them actually in a position where they think they can win every game now to the end of the season. Because that's going to be the only way that we're putting enough pressure on to potentially go up this season. I don't think we'll need to win every game to go up, but I think they have to go into every game with that belief that they can.
I think so. I'm just hoping, like, it's like done something for him mentally, as in shit, we lost at home. We thought we were unbeatable there. We thought we were invincible. Maybe it'll give him a kick up the ass. It's the only positive I can take out of it.
That's the thing. It's like these last couple of games have been one of those, look, you're not invincible, lads. You need to get your act together type scenario, you know?
Mm. But they need to do it now, because it's been like two games in a row where they've been shite.
Doctor.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Cox says there isn't a set piece coach at Leeds at the moment.
It shows.
Coleslaw again on tour says, not saying it's the answer, but needing a goal, why not bring Joffe on as well? This is going to set a cat amongst the pigeons, because Joffe, for me, looked like he was going to be the second coming of I mean, everyone compared him to Rooney because he's a little Scouse lad and everything else. Just his build and everything else. But he looked, I mean, even in the Premier League, he won his games on his own when he came on, didn't he? You know, that ball, was it Norwich when he flipped it over to Stroik at the back post? When he had that, the audacity to do that.
Brighton. He lifted it over the player, didn't he, and then pinged it.
He did something similar Norwich. At Norwich, didn't he, when he put it through somebody's legs?
Yeah, and he was at the back stick for Rafinha to play it in. He bullied your man off the ball for a header, flicked on to Rafinha.
That's right, and I don't think that's a bad idea. But he's not thought of, is he, at the moment? He clearly not thought of, because Farker's, has he been? I don't know how many minutes he's played this season. I'm sure we could probably find out, but I don't, very, very little.
Probably about 10.
Yeah,
I can't remember.
Yeah,
I don't think he's going to call on him at this point. I think that time's passed. I think it's everyone that's been in match day squad now. That's the call.
It's just a bit of a massive gamble, isn't it? It's a huge gamble based on where we are and what we've been doing, and it's almost like, you know, throwing the instructions in the bin, like everything we've been doing all season, just fuck it and just bring somebody on who's not even played much this season. It just feels a bit too much of a gamble and a risk for me, that one.
It's a bit of a bad shout, because he's played in high pressure games in the Premier League and got goals, one or two goals, you know. It might not be the worst thing in the planet, you know what I mean? It's
not a bad idea to have him on bench, you know. If the game calls for it, use him maybe. But I'm not clamouring for him, even though we know that he has got ability.
Yeah. Anyway,
I think it's just players that have been more involved and are more up to speed for me, and now the focus.
Yeah, I get that as well. Yeah.
Yeah,
it's just it's battle stations now, man.
Yeah. Nige says he wishes Sparker would surprise a few teams. Three in midfield, five at the back. Change it up the second half. Teams know how we're going to play.
Let's just throw it all out. Let's just tear it up, man. Let's just.
I mean, he does change it up. He puts seven strikers on.
Go on, Nige.
He does put seven strikers on and then leave us open at the back and concede a last minute goal. So. Yeah, I mean, I don't know how I feel about that. I think we're too deep in the season to be changing formations and whatnot. I think it's subtle changes that need to be made, and it's as simple as giving those three behind, whoever's playing up front, whether it be Mateo Joseph, whether it be Patrick Bamford, whether it be Joel Pirro, the three behind have to be given this creative license that actually they can roam a bit and not be expected to just do the same thing on repeat. It's like they're like a broken record. Watching Leeds at the moment is just like watching it on repeat, because we play into Cree, who cuts it back, who then sometimes will take a shot. It's just too repetitive. It's bollocks.
It is. It's pressure, pressure, pressure. Do nothing. It's like a great white shark with no teeth. You can't get away from it. It'll catch you, but it won't hurt you.
I bet it still could.
Maybe.
But yeah, it won't score any goals. So
they can't walk, you dickhead.
Exactly.
Can he climb a tree though?
Who knows?
Right. A bit of a debatable one here, and this is again going to set the cat and guns to pigeons. Philip Anderson said, "What about trying Bamford in the 10?" I've actually mentioned this, not this season,
yep.
Given, but I have thought about this previously in probably last season or the season, whenever, anyway. But I didn't think this was a bad idea at the time. I've changed my mind on it somewhat. But Carl, you're nodding your head. Tell me.
I think it's not a bad shout, personally. I've suggested before playing Pirro and Bamford and rotating them as well as rotating the wide players. I think the way Bamford holds the ball up, and like I know we discuss it all the time and he does this or whatever, and we've talked to death about what he does, but if you're playing the ball into a number 10's feet, you want him to be able to hold it up and then maybe turn. And Bamford, as he can find a pass. We know he can find a pass. We've seen him do it before. But I don't know if now is the time to be, again, like we've said, changing too much. But again, it wouldn't be massive change. It'd just be Pirro and Bamford swapping around every now and again. That'll be about the size of it. Like, I don't think it's too risky either. Like,
nah. What about you, Jay? Are you on board with trying Paddy in the 10 or even as a 9 but rotating with where playing 10? Even if it's Rutter playing in the 10.
Not for me. I think given time to adapt, maybe, like Carl says, he's got qualities that would make him good in there. And it could be a way for him to sort of extend his career a little, change into a 10 as well, you know. But I don't think he's creative enough, and I don't think dropping someone into a different role now and saying go out and make it happen, I don't think he can with 3 games to go.
The other side of that coin is he's a forward player, and when you've got forward players in positions where, like, strikers know where they want the ball played, so sometimes you look at a striker and go, right, his touch is good, he can pick a pat. Why not try that striker in the 10 role?
Like, is he going to bamboozle a defender though and send him wrong way and then?
But the other thing
skip
is
past
as well,
him and play a through ball like Rutter can do. I don't see that.
Yeah, I don't know. I think sometimes as a striker, you look at where you're, like, you see the runs he makes on a regular basis. The balls don't get to him half the time. But if you have a striker looking at another striker,
have you got a mind meld with Alan Austin?
Eh?
He said Bamford's been making some decent runs last couple of games, but nobody passes it to him. You just literally said the same thing. It's just like, it's Cal's burner account.
Yeah. He can, like, strikers know where they want the ball played, so why not play a potential striker just a little deeper? Like, we've seen Pirro find one or two through balls where he knows as a striker where he wants the ball. So maybe, I don't know. It's not an option that I would ever discount by any means at all.
I think in isolation it could work. It's just that it's the wrong time to try it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, perhaps you're right there. What are you doing?
What is he clicking? What are you doing?
I'm trying to fix my mic. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
I can hear everything you're doing.
Yeah, sorry. I broke my microphone while I was trying to talk halfway through. Then I wasn't being rude to you both, but okay. You couldn't hear me. Yeah, no, I completely agree. Bamford in the 10, I just think that front four need to be moving around a lot more. And whether that's swapping positions or whatnot, I don't know. I don't think it's. I think I agree actually with Scooby a minute ago, who said it's too late to be changing formations or regular players regular. This isn't the time for to start doing a bit of Expelliarmus and waving loads of magic wands and hoping. Who's just put chain took that off?
Me. Smartest saying the same
cheers,
thing.
Yeah.
You can have it back.
No, it's all right. I can't remember. I can remember what it said. It can't change formation or players' regular positions, which is right. Like, why would you start doing things like that at this stage of the season? Like, we don't want to be waving some magic wand and hoping that it's going to work. We need to be using people in there. Using people in their prime positions and things as well. That because ultimately that's where you're going to get the best out of the players. I just think we need a bit more of a creative license, and I think that will be enough.
Yeah,
I do too.
I agree with that. And what I'd like to maybe start seeing is Somerville, I like the wide players coming in to receive the ball so that we can then move the front players around that way without, you know, pulling them out of position too much. But it, like if Cree came in, you know, from the wing every now and again and tried picking it up kind of in the free space in between the midfield and the 10 roll, why not just do it then, like, and do stuff like that rather than, unless we're going playing the ball over the top, playing it into his feet out wide isn't working. So why doesn't he just come in, receive the ball in the middle of the park and then have the players in the middle giving him options going out wide, like Kamara, Grua potentially just going alongside him, and then we've got other wide players there. But
yeah.
So
it looks, Mike, I think you're right. I don't think he will change anything drastically, but I think something has to change, whether it be subtle or just tweaks, little tweaks, because he will have to do, because otherwise we keep playing like we have in the last three or four, five even games, then we're going to get similar results for me.
Exactly. Can't keep doing what you've been doing and expect a different outcome.
No. Emmy Lou says, it can't go unnoticed that this has come after the internationals. The Welsh boys are a massive chunk of our team and deflation can filter through. Hope they've had some psychologist input across the team. What do you make of that? Do you think that's had that rubbed off on some of the lads? Do you think they've all got a bit, you know, downbeat? And you know, I can imagine if you were walking into a changing room after you've been knocked out of not going to Europe in the summer, you know, and let's be honest, four of them are very important players for that Welsh national team. Almost half of the outfield. Do you know what I mean? It's outfield. Fucking hell, that was very American.
It was a bit of Jesse there.
Fucking hell, man!
You're in the outfield.
But yeah, I mean, I think there could be some truth in that. But also add in there the injuries that we had over the international break and players coming back in bit parts and having to get back to full fitness. Look, it wasn't an ideal international break or period for anybody really, other than Ipswich, who got one of their players back mentally. But what do you make of that? Do you think that might have rubbed off on the players, that you know, that subdued, bit downbeat, not themselves for a few days? It can do, can't it?
I think so, but at the same time, they've got a lot to play for with Leeds United, and at the end of the day, I know it's the pride you're playing for your nation at an international tournament, but they're professional footballers. They know what the outcomes of some games could be. They need to get their, you know, game face on when they come back and they're picking up their paycheck, and they need to look and go into the games when they came back as if to say, right, okay, this is, you know, two games or three games or whatever that we have now to play off, you know.
Yeah, so, couple more comments, because we've been on 50 minutes already and we've still got fucking loads to get through. A couple more quick comments. Sorry, lads. I can't believe we've been on for fucking 50 minutes. It's flown by.
Right? I can't.
We've got loads still to do. We've got ship take of the week. We've got Middlesbrough to look forward to, predictions and other bits. So yeah. Dr. Cox, really quickly, don't want to hear anything on this. Yeah, absolutely right. It's not like quite as bad as watching Gareth Southgate's England team, but yeah, it's very sort of obvious what we're going to be doing. JB Jackson makes a great point. We lack vision. Bamford makes key decent runs. Pirro did a couple too. We missed them. We didn't find them. There's so much space on the right, but we keep playing to the left. Yeah, covered that. Scooby D2 says Morse code for player Joseph. I think that was me playing with my mic. and then Cole Slow throws a nice little dig in. Can we bring Izzy Brown off the bench, take a 90th-minute free kick?
Good God.
Hey, look how far we've come. Look how far we've bloody come.
We've come a long way, haven't we? We've come a long way.
Right then, I've just mentioned it a second ago there, and we'll move on to it straight away, if you're both happy with that.
Yeah, man.
Go for it, mate.
Hey, yo, I've got a shit tick this week, my little spatter fact.
As you are all probably aware by now, this is the part of OKB's weekly show where we ridicule, even it might be some of you actually watching, we don't even know. We don't care.
Because
what we do, we go through Twitter, a lot of us, between the five of us, we spend quite a bit of time on social media, and we do see some very shit takes. So there's been a few entries this week. So I'm going to bring them up one by one and read them out really quickly, if we can find them. There we go. So the first one is our friend Jason. who says, Roberts has been sent back to Burnley. When did that happen? If those of you who know Jason, you will know that he is the most negative Leeds fan probably on earth, and he just loves a little bit of negativity. Basically, what had happened was there was a tweet that said Roberts is going back, and basically somebody had picked their team if we don't go up, and they'd included Connor Roberts, and somebody had put Roberts has gone back, as in like if we he's going back to Burnley regardless, and he's taking it as he's done his ACL and he's out for 9 months. So that was Jason. Jason's God. Interpretation. Anyway, next one is from I can't really read it. Let's have a look. Jameson says, pretty much what I've been asking for before. This is before the game. Joseph Pirot interchangeable. If this doesn't work, I will eat my humble pie. Kathy then says, are you eating it? He says, no, because the substitutions were wrong. So that's not my fault. So basically, he got the changes that he wanted before the game. The changes didn't work. We ended up losing. And now he's then blaming the substitutions after that. So the players that were taken out, they didn't work. So that was number two.
we should do a merch section with all these shit takes.
I've actually got one for us that I found not long
ago. Go for it, because I didn't put all three of them in. So I want to put two of them in. If you've got number three.
Someone's sharing this video here. Just seen Angus Kinnear going to a Peacock pub at 12 p.m. on a Tuesday. No wonder our accounts are so bad. But how dare he go and buy his lunch from a local business at 12 o'clock? You know, fucking hell, fireman. People will have a go about anything. He might not be like the guy we all want in the job at times, but I mean, criticizing him for that's a bit crazy.
Yeah, that's a bit heavy. You know, a man's got to eat, like.
Exactly. You know what I mean?
Poor dude, like,
where were he supposed to go? How dare he?
Oh, mother of God.
Come on, Lou, we're waffling here for you.
We are waffling. I'm just putting a poll on, just so we can see who wins shit take of the week.
Oh, okay.
HJ with Angus Kinnear, fuck me.
The three options are there now. They're all in the poll. So we've got Robert's done his ACL. Humble pie for tea and Kinnear on the beer. Take your pick. which you think is... Hey, I've got to be quick to do these, Anna.
You are fair. Which you think
was your favourite this week? And we will move on now. We'll move on to... I just want a quick mention on this. Don't want to spend too long on it. What's it called when you're a... we're ambassadors, I suppose, for on this show, for actually probably not so much Jay, for experience over ability, in terms of it's important to have your leaders around and that sort of thing, rather than having somebody come in who can do the job, but they haven't got that leadership. And we talk about the old guard all the time. Anyway, Luke Ayling has gone out on loan, and I saw this tweet earlier, so I just wanted to bring this up.
Okay.
Since the start of March, Luke Ayling has the most open play assist of any player across the entire top divisions in English football.
Of course he has.
So since he's gone to Borough, he's got the most assists across the English football. That's not from corners and free kicks and whatever else.
Is there a stat for how many times he's lost his man and it's resulted in a goal or a shot on target? I just want to know if it balances out.
Well, like I saw Borough fans saying they didn't mind all the Leeds fans piling on to vote for Ayling for player of the season. So
I'm just taking this. I love Luke Ayling. I don't feel like it were wrong to send him out. It might have made more sense to keep him, but if the guy wanted to play, man, and he wasn't going to play, we couldn't stop him.
Nah.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
After all he's given us, we owed him that.
Harry, yeah, I think it's only fair that he was able to leave. You know what I mean? He's still probably he's playing for a contract now, whether that or somewhere else. Like, but you got to give him that. Like,
yeah, absolutely. Are you trying to find something in relation to that comment you've starred, Luke?
Yes.
Do you need me to find it, or have you got it?
I've got one of them. I haven't got the original one. If you can find the original one,
for
a second. We'll come back to that one in a second. Right then, let's talk Borough on Monday. So we've talked about what needs to change, how it's going to change. First things first, Carl, is it going to change?
I think he's going to revert back to Bamford. So, yeah, I think it's going to change.
I've got a feeling he's going to do that, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think so.
Right, Jay's found this, so let's come back to Bury really, really quickly, because this isn't a shit take, Mark. No, you're right, but it was very funny. Those of you who haven't seen it, we've just got a quick video of a stag do taking place in Leeds.
It's genius. It's genius,
absolutely,
man.
Absolutely brilliant. And then I've got the second part to it where they're all dancing outside the cat's protection, beating the cat up. share screen. Where are we? There we go.
I don't think I've seen this bit.
Oh, this is brilliant, man. This is brilliant.
Go for it.
There's no sound on it, but they're all outside. Can you see it? Oh, no, you can't see it.
No, you got to add it.
There you go. From outside cat protection in Headingley. The cat's getting a good kick in by all the current Zoomers.
Fantastic. Christ.
Hey, original. We like anything like that. Yeah,
did you see that one other week with that lad where they made him think Spanish police were arresting them all?
Oh, yeah.
And they were on his knees and they were like banging stuff near his head and making noises. Yeah. And like, I'm sorry, it's a stag do.
Yeah. Brilliant.
The relief when they took that mask off his head and he saw his mates.
Burra, Cal, sorry to interrupt you, mate. How is it changing? Yeah. Bamford's going back up top for you.
All right. Yeah, I think with Bamford has a kind of a record scoring against teams that he's played for, so let's hopefully he can do it against Burra on Monday. But I do think it'll change again. One of the places I'd maybe like to see a change would be for Pirro to come in the 10 role. Strictly because, like I mentioned earlier on, the whole Rutter thing, he needs a break. He's got a solid half hour, 35 minutes in him. And I think giving him that time to absolutely terrorize a team rather than starting him, considering he's not been playing very well. He's also just come back from that bleeding hernia up. And since then, he's been kind of on the back foot, really. But I think bringing Bamford back in is probably the way it's going to go. I'd like to see Willie start as well. I think if Cree has another game like he did on Saturday and he doesn't pull... he doesn't take Cree off and leave Willie on if Willie's playing well. I think it's an error of judgment on his behalf. But at the same time, he's looking like he's willing to change things up. So hopefully he does it now on Monday and see what happens.
Jay, any other changes for you, mate?
For me, it would be a case of send the same team out and tell them to put it right. That's what I would do. I would just send them back out. They could have won that game against Blackburn. The only reason we didn't is because we didn't take our chances, essentially. Could we have done lots of stuff better? Yeah, we touched on the game. We talked about it. The shithouse does. I'd send the same team out and say, do what you did again, but better.
You'd play the same team, would you?
Yeah, I'd send them back out and give them a chance to put it right.
Do you think we should focus mainly on having more shots from outside the 18-yard box?
Absolutely.
Because it's a
dire lack. Isn't that supposed to be one of Pirro's strengths?
Yeah, but there's a serious lack of that at the moment. It's a little bit annoying and frustrating at the same time because we're getting into good positions where we can have a shot and we're doing this, winding it up for a shot and then making this little pass. And it's like, just hit the bleeding ball. Like, if you don't shoot, you don't score. Like, you know what I mean? And
yeah. I mean, if Nanto plays again, we've seen what he can do.
Yeah.
From just outside the box. We've seen what Cree can do. Rutter, his shots can't pull skin off a rice pudding usually, so we won't go into that bit. But, you know, we've seen what Pirro can do. He can shoot from outside the box. They've all got that in them. It's got to be a tactical thing telling them not to when we're not taking any shots. It's got to be. That is a tweak that I would make. But you don't have to be all or nothing. You can still work the ball in the box, but maybe every 7-8 minutes or something, maybe just have a crack if not happening, you know what I mean? you don't have to completely change your game and your approach.
No, but there's opportunities that players have had numerous times, even over the last couple of games, to have a good pop at the goal, and they're not doing it. It's just it's very frustrating.
It's very difficult to do. It's very difficult to do as well against a team that has 9 or 10 men behind the ball.
But you can't
walk a ball into the goal.
No, you can't. Yeah, and I think the option of having the shot is probably, you know, maybe 8 times, 7 times out of 10, the better option, because you see how we get when we get the ball in from the wings. Cree tries to cut in and, you know, do his thing or whatever. But when he tries to do that, if he does eventually beat the players,
Roberts can hit a ball.
Well, yeah, but we've also congested every player into the middle of the park.
What, Jesse Marsh style?
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Like, if Cree's taking the ball on and he's not having the opportunities, he needs to start playing it. He needs to start getting the ball into feet so that we can actually have a shot. I think Kamara, anyone in the midfield now, of the two, either Kamara and Gray or Gruevan Gray, whatever the case may be, I think they need to be encouraged to have a shot at any opportunity. Any opportunity, yeah.
I completely agree. You know, we if you remember at this stage of the halfway of the season, we had a bit of a mind blocker and a bit of a mind fuck where we just couldn't break down these teams that were sitting back, and then we brought Rutter into the 10, which nobody knew that he could play there. Any of the opposition, nobody knew how to prepare for that. I don't think we needed such a drastic change. I just still think we need lots of little subtle things and little changes. I think that's what we're all agreeing on, aren't we?
Yeah. He's not going to tell them to take a shot at any opportunity, though, because the whole point of the way we play is that we don't turn over the ball. And if you're taking pot shots, you're turning over the ball a lot. And that goes against Farker's philosophy. He won't tell them to do that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm not
which is probably like, why they don't shoot much at all because of that.
I'm not saying take a shot every time you get in a position.
Well, you did. You said any opportunity.
Well, any opportunity.
Shoot on sight.
Like, how many opportunities have Kamara and Gruev have had? They haven't had any, really. So I'm saying any opportunity they have a pop. Rather than just trying to lay it off every time, it's not worked over the last 4 games, really. Like, so
Kamara kept getting opportunities early in the season, didn't he? But he kept fluffing it every time he got close to goal. Mm. And he hadn't really got in them positions much since. Like, we saw him make little runs into the box and stuff at one point.
Yeah.
That's gone away.
Just late runs, isn't it?
Yeah.
But anyway. All right,
cool. Well, let's move on slightly, shall we? Shall we take some predictions?
Yeah. Auto no better predictions.
I think I'm the highest out of us three in the league, aren't I?
I think you are, yeah.
Hey, we'll go with me anyway. First fingers first in the comments from you guys watching, and we'll take that as the as your prediction. I'm going to go 3-1 Leeds.
Mm, interesting.
Has anyone got a pen?
Sadly not.
I have, I'll take them down.
I was going to say I could write them on notes. I don't compute.
I'll do it, man.
Banana. Top Banana says 2-1 lead. Luke.
Ooh, Michael Gott's gone for a draw.
And who? Where are you two? Who's? I'm not the highest. Jay's not the highest.
That's not news.
No. It's totally lost there, but anyway.
Anyway.
Go on. Who's highest out of you two?
Well, obviously, Carl.
No, Carl, it's go not, on, man. It's you. I'm.
Oh, so you stopped taking piss now, have you? How am I supposed to know what's going on? I'm going for 2-0 leads, and we're going to get a clean sheet, and we're going to get back to winning ways, and we're all going to feel really positive, and everyone's going to be happy.
Just before I make mine, I just want to point this one out. Philip Anderson's gone 4-2 leads. That's optimistic, considering we haven't scored in a few games. Like,
and Burrow are on a good run.
Yeah. I'm going to go bleeding. I'm going to go 2-1.
You're going to go? 2-1.
Yeah.
Wicked. Cool.
So just while we're at this, just quickly, have we seen the form table with Middlesbrough.
I really want to see that, Jay, if I'm honest with you.
Fifth.
Oh, we're 10th in the form table. That's not as bad as I expected.
No, it's not, to be fair. I thought we were like...
Oh, are Ipswich still second when they've only drawn two? Is that up to date in the last six?
I'm not sure. It is, yeah. It is.
Did they win the... Oh, yeah, they must have won the three before that, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it does take into account the last six, yeah.
Yeah,
I don't really care, mate, about the form table.
Oh, no, you don't.
Where are Borough? Where were the Borough?
They're fifth. They're fifth. Oh.
And we're 10th.
Yeah.
Cool. Where are Leicester? Let's get that back up a sec.
Hang on. They are 15th.
Fucking hell.
It's not great, is it?
Mm-mm. No.
Is that what?
I do care about the form table all of a sudden.
We're ahead of them on one stage, hey?
Yeah. Two wins, one draw, three losses for them.
Mental.
And seven scored and seven conceded in that run.
Yeah. Christ on a play.
Like they've done nothing for the goal difference at all.
I'm going to end the poll now, and I'm going to give you your winners for our...
Hey, yo, has got a shit tick this week, my little spatter fact.
The shiitake of the week. And the winner, I can't believe this actually won it. It was a shit. It was, oh, I've lost it. I've lost the result. I've got it. So, last place, Robert's doing his ACL in. He's got 16%. Humble Pie for tea, 37%. And the winner was Kinnear on the beer with 45%. I think that's just because of the catchy title, though, don't you?
I think so, yeah.
It's your whip.
But it was also a bit outrageous. But the thing you couldn't find, it was the keeper, wasn't it? The one about the keeper.
Yes.
Because we said we were going to mention him and his time wasting, yes. We never did. And you were going to bring that guy.
Somebody
up
said that. Somebody said the keeper, their keeper was shit or something like that. But he actually made loads. He was their man of the match. He was the man of the match, actually, I think.
Well, everywhere had him as man of the match.
Yeah.
He won them that game. He won them that game. Poll,
the poll from earlier was, do we still get automatically promoted? And I think when I ended that, it was 54% still saying yes and 46% saying no.
Keep the faith. Do it for Stuart.
Keep the faith. Cool. Anybody got an auto bitter this week? Anything you're pissed off about? Anything? Do you want anything to get off your chest, Carl?
Jeez, I'll be honest with you, not really. I'm fed up having a go at the refs because we should be used to them in the EFL at this stage. Like,
you're quite mellow to say how shit we are at the minute and that. You're quite cool with that.
Well, I'm quite relaxed about it, to be fair. Like, I still think we're going up automatically, so it's fine. Like,
I tell you what, I haven't got a bitter. I'm not going to go into one about it, but I'm pretty pissed off we haven't gone all season unbeaten at home. That would have been a nice game.
Yeah, it would have
been nice. Not really a bitter as so much as a disappointment.
Yeah. I'm not angry, I'm disappointed. You know, like when your parents used to tell you off, and it was like, oh, fuck, that means I'm in some real shit now.
I've got to change the locks, and I'm never getting back in again.
Not angry with you, Luke. I used to hear that so much from my teachers, from the police, from my mum. I heard it from everyone, pretty much. Cool. Anything else to do? I think we've just got two final things, actually. We've got congratulations. We did say we'd do a bit of a shit sandwich the opposite way around, and I did want to keep a little bit of positive news for the end because obviously the players who went down to London this week, Jorginho, Archie, Cree and Amps, they all picked up awards. Cree, Amps and Rutter all made Team of the Year. Cree also got Champ Player of the Year, and Archie got Young Player of the Year and Apprentice of the Year. So congratulations, lads.
Awesome.
Yeah, fantastic news. Do we think then, actually, just as a bit of a flip side to that thing we said about the Welsh lads having a bit of a negative time after the Welsh result, do we think this might actually spur some of them on now for the next four games? You know, they're the best in their positions in their league.
Do you know what? I reckon just having gone on a nice night out together and relaxed will have done them a world of good.
Yeah. Maybe that was part of the two or three days off that they needed this week. Just go down, chill out, take your minds off it for a bit, then get back in the game Wednesday for training.
Sometimes you just need to have a few beers and put world to rights. I'm not sure how many beers will be allowed.
Do you think they've had a beer?
I reckon they'll have been allowed one or two, maybe. It's a celebration. They've won awards.
I don't think they would.
There's not a game next day.
Yeah, maybe.
You'd be stricter managers than me, you two. Fucking hell.
Yeah. Cool. And then the final thing, as we do every week, Jay, do you want to take this away or do you want to do it, Carl?
I'll just find it first. Oh, right, it's there. Jeez, it's very small, isn't it?
Well, it'll be on your phone or whatever you're using.
Well, no, I'm on a laptop. It's fine. Friday the 26th, pool night at Northern Snooker, starting at 6:30 p.m. We will be on the tables upstairs. We do ask for a small donation to the tables, but this is not essential. And then Sunday the 28th, barbecue club at W2 Barbers on Easterly Road from 11 to 3. Come down, get your hair cut, have a chat, with all proceeds going to Andy's Man Club. More events will be announced in May.
Hey, perfectly done that for a Welsh lad. Well done. a Welsh accent. We have actually had two questions that I've saved for the end and I completely forgot about. Actually, one of them has just come in, but there was two. There was one earlier that I felt was a good question. First, just going around the houses really quickly. Jay, how many points do you think we'll get from the last three games?
Seven.
Seven. Cal?
I can see Cogs going. I feel like I'm waiting for a potato bacon microwave.
How many?
No, I'm going to put nine.
Nine?
Just because.
I hope for nine, but I feel like there'll be something that's just not quite.
I think five or six. I think we'll either get win and two draws, and or we'll get two wins and we'll lose. I'm not sure which way around.
We'll see.
We still obviously go up all
match. We don't lose again.
And then the last one has come from Ashley Buckland. Where do you think? Do you think the playing away these next two games might help us a bit? Help the mentality, because obviously there's a lot of weight of expectation at Elland Road at the minute. You know, they can go there, play with a bit more freedom. We expect teams probably not to sit back as much away from home as well. Carl, what are your thoughts on that? Do you think it could be a godsend for us at this stage of the season?
I think so. With the final game of the season being at home, I think these two away from home, it's like a siege mentality now. We're going to try and mess up someone else's season now, and I think, we just need to knuckle down and be as loud as we can against Middlesbrough. We know they're going to have a full stadium because they class it as a Yorkshire derby, which I'm not even from Yorkshire, and I know geographically they're fucking...
Hang on. Do they think it's a derby when they play Hull?
See, this is the thing. Like,
neither of them are in Yorkshire, by the way.
Exactly.
Yeah, they're weird. Like, so... Yeah, they're going to bring the Ray game because they treat it like a derby, whereas we're treating it like a promotion game. So
just another game for us, isn't it?
No, we're not going down that road. We're no ball frauds over here.
Maybe
we'll keep it.
Yeah,
but you're not a fraud, man. We'll keep it real.
Hey, well said. That's well recovered there to that man.
There you go.
Jay, what are your thoughts? Do you think playing these next two away could be what we need?
Because of the result against Blackburn, I think this has fallen perfectly now, because the last couple of games, we said before, the atmosphere has started to get really nervy in the ground. It's quiet at times because people are worried. And when you go to away games, it's just all nutcases, isn't it? We're just going to sing and back team for 90 minutes. And I think that will benefit them more than playing at home and being able to feel and hear a silent sort of crowd at times and that tension that's in the air. I think it'll be a little bit of a release from all being well.
I completely agree. Completely agree. Saints have finished 3-0, so they haven't made many goals up on that in terms of the goal difference. Hull is, I mean, it's very debatable. I mean, if I was from Hull, I'd probably say I'm from Yorkshire, but anybody who's from Yorkshire says Hull's definitely not in Yorkshire.
And on that note,
thank you ever so much, everybody, for joining us. Thank you for your comments, Jay and Carl. Thank you as ever for being fantastic co-hosts. And we'll be back after, it'll be next week now. So it'll probably be Tuesday. We'll do a Brad and Coke, and then maybe Wednesday back for your main pod potentially. We don't really know. We just play it by ear. We don't really care.
We'll make it up as we go.
Wait.
Oh.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thank you for listening to another Otto Know Better podcast, the Independent League United podcast. You can engage with us via our socials on YouTube and Twitter at the address @OttoKnowBetter with your thoughts on the show or subjects you'd like us to discuss. You can even join us live and have your say while we're recording on our YouTube channel for the main weekly show and the Berardi and Coke after-match podcasts. We've 3 years' worth of content you can listen back to, from interviews with former Leeds players and managers to Hollywood stars. Maybe choose carefully which match reviews to check out, though. Remember to subscribe on whichever app you choose to follow us on.